Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs, the author of the new book, Noble State. We turn to the Red Sea. Once upon a time, Gregory wrote a book, The Red Med. I puzzled about it, but what he was identifying was the Horn of Africa and the great possibilities of prosperity and growth and supremacy from the states bordering the Red Sea. The Suez Canal at the top, the passageway into the Indian Ocean, and the world at the bottom. And yet, what we have today is Eritrea, Djibouti, Ethiopia, Yemen, Egypt, even to a certain extent Saudi Arabia, looking at this tribe of cultists called the Houthis, daily sending drones and missiles across the Red Sea, mostly aimed at parts of Israel, but sometimes they just wander off course. The question about what is to be done has been answered several times to no success. The United States, the United Kingdom, I believe the Saudis spent years with the battling the Houthis, and the Israelis have struck more than once and are attempting a decap strike on the Houthis. It's led by a man named Houthi, a cult leader. However, I add the Houthis because in addition to everything else, there's trouble all along the Red Sea corridor, or could be trouble. So is the Red Sea now part of the future, or is it an abandoned part of the past? Are we looking at, say, the Belgian Congo after the fall of the Belgian king and the exit of the resource-rich Belgians in that first globalization collapse that happened at the beginning of the 20th century? Is that what the Red Sea represents, Gregory? Is the Greg Sea past tense, the Red Sea?
No, I don't think so. I think we've got a temporary problem. I mean, it's popularized every day by blaming it all on Mr. Houthi, the chief of the Houthi clan, which is only a small part of this operation. The Houthis, like most of the North Yemenis, are of the Hashimi grouping, which is like the Hashemites in Jordan, and they were designated by the Prophet Muhammad as the guardians of the holy cities of Mecca and Medina, which the Saudis have overtaken and claim that they are the guardians of those holy cities. So the Saudis naturally hate the North Yemenis and have constantly tried to bring it under control. They had wars in the 1950s in which they induced Egypt, also under Nasser, and the king, to come in and attack the kingdom of North Yemen. That failed miserably because the North Yemenis, including smaller tribes like the Houthis, tend to be extremely strong and determined mountain fighters. And the Saudis never went in there themselves physically, even during the recent wars in which they persuaded the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain to go in concert with them to attack the North Yemenis. The Saudis themselves never went into the country because they're afraid of the Yemenis, and rightly so. So they left it to everybody else to sort this out, and it failed. Now, what we saw was that when the Saudis kept telling the Americans in particular, the problem is the Houthis. Well, you know, Houthis is a small group. They said they were being backed by Iran, and to a degree, that was certainly the case. Largely in the West, explained by the fact that the Iranians and the Houthis were of Shia ideology in terms of their view of Islam. In fact, the Yemeni Shias are very, very different from the Iranian Shias. Nonetheless, Iran did provide some technology for them. But Yemen has a huge population, larger than Saudi Arabia, and one which is very much accustomed to fighting rugged guerrilla wars. That continues. Now, the problem is that because of the U.S.-Saudi relationship and the relationship of Europe to the Saudis, nobody is game to talk to the Yemenis. These are problems in Yemen, North and South Yemen, which could be resolved largely diplomatically, but that will never happen as long as Saudi Arabia has its way. And the Houthis, particularly, or the North Yemen government, is trying to stop the normalization of relations between Israel and Saudi Arabia. So, yes, they've been hostile towards Israel, and that's aligned with Iran's view as well, fight against Israel. So the Houthis keep whacking away, sending a few missiles a day, as you say, into the Red Sea, endangering commercial shipping up the Red Sea, Suez, Mediterranean sea lanes. And now the insurance companies have jacked up insurance rates, and nobody has gone in to stop the problem. So the higher insurance rate does force shipping to go around the Cape of Good Hope around southern Africa instead of through the Red Sea. This could be readily resolved with some kind of organized policies, including diplomacy. But this is not being attempted or even being considered because the world is preoccupied in other areas. And in the meantime, you've got these wars underway in Somalia, Ethiopia itself, Sudan in particular. And these are being fought by using these local powers as proxies by a number of foreign powers, including particularly Turkey. So this is not going anywhere positive very soon. The Ethiopian civil war, as we've discussed, is probably the biggest combat zone in the world today, with the most casualties, more than the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Sudan itself is not peaceful. Egypt is extremely weak. And so you have everything being taken up and magnified through different lenses. For example, on September the 9th, the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, which is in the Beneshangul Gumuz area of Ethiopia, about 9 miles from the Sudanese border, it was opened on September 9th, inaugurated, and was being blamed by Egypt as stealing the Nile waters from Egypt, to which they claim to have sole rights. It's not the case. This is something which the Egyptians, who are in political trouble because of their economy, are using to blame someone else for their problems. So you have these little flare-ups and wars continuing to remain alive on artificial premises. And all of these could be addressed. They're all manageable. Nobody is coming to Egypt's aid to actually help its economics and its own war with Turkey itself. So what we're seeing is these wars are going on with huge damage to international shipping, and therefore creating enormous inflation in consumer goods around the world. And they could be addressed with adequate policy. President Trump just put on an extension of the, alarm or cause for concern in Ethiopia, but hasn't done anything to really stop the problem. But this isolates the Ethiopian government, which is itself not doing a good job of maintaining internal unity at all either.
Does the disorder please Ankara?
Absolutely. Ankara is benefiting from this by in several ways. One, it's selling a lot more military equipment. It's gaining influence as literally the only major power in the region doing anything. And in this regard, it outpaces the PRC and Russia, and the United States for that matter, as a regional influencer. It literally controls the government of Somalia at this stage, which is less healthy than you would think. They're using it as a base to test Turkish weapons, particularly long-range ballistic missiles, and Turkey is heavily involved in its own nuclear program and will certainly be testing a nuclear device at some stage in the near future. And yet nobody's seeing the damage this is doing, or that Turkey basically wants to take over Somaliland, which was the former British Somaliland, and merge it in with Somalia once again, as occurred briefly during in 1960. So all of these things are changing the power structure in the most vital sea lane region of the world. And Turkey is benefiting from that. And Turkey has now got a new Trump administration ambassador, U.S. ambassador in Ankara, who is literally has fallen for the Erdogan line and is supporting that. And at a time when, of course, President Erdogan himself is now visiting the United States, hoping to win the support of President Trump in that entire region. And that has forebodings for both Israel as well as the Red Sea region.
Yes, I'm told, just talk, Gregory, that Egypt is arming and Turkey is arming. I'm told. However, Erdogan, here I've been regarding him as a neo-Ottomanist and a fantasist. Is he the deputy that we need for the region?
Absolutely not. Turkey has never done a favor for anybody except Turkey, okay, particularly during the Ottoman period and even the Kemalist period. And right now we've got Erdogan, who is anti-Kemalist and basically is on the verge of collapse in his own country because he's destroyed the economy there. He's not acting in anybody's interest but his own, and those interests are very much anti-Israel, anti the moderate forces in the region, anti-Greece, anti-NATO, anti-Europe. So Erdogan is the great threat, if you like, to that region, and will continue to be, and has unfortunately spent a lot of time trying to buy off influences in Washington, D.C. in particular, and at the same time threaten European leaders, either collectively or individually.
In the meantime, the Red Med connection stays out of the game then. It's neutralized and it pleases Ankara, so it's going to stay that way, is my reading of what you're saying.
I'm hoping that we're starting to see regional states, particularly led by Israel, thinking in terms of how they can deal with this in the long term. Israel is particularly and acutely aware of Turkey's threat because Turkey ostensibly controls the government of neighboring Syria, even though the Syrians' new leadership are anti-Ankara to a degree. But Israel is fighting Turkey in Syria right now, trying to preserve the Fertile Crescent of minorities, preserving the lives of the Druze and the Kurds and other minorities throughout greater Syria.
Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs, looking at the Red Med, the Mediterranean, the Red Sea, connected by the Suez Canal. Once the promise of the future, now? King Charles Report coming up, our favorite moment of the week. Lots to say about the King's gold and silver on the tables at Windsor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.